My safe word is quad cell. Let's go.
I mean, I'm not a Yale educated statistician, but
I just applauded myself.
I would be so happy with a Pikachu.
Surprise, everyone's a weeb.
In this shirt?
Okay, let's not.
I'm not a prude, obviously. I'm sorry, my mind is disgusting. Welcome to the Iced Tea Podcast, the podcast where we spill the tea on figure skating. My name is Megan.
I am Netta. Hi, how are you doing, Megan?
I'm fine. How are you, Netta?
I'm doing okay. It is Monday night. I'm doing great.
Let's cut to the chase. This week we're talking about Cup of China. And yeah. I don't know about you, but I feel like it didn't happen. I don't know how else to describe it. Like, I think it's because it was the first Grand Prix event of the year that I didn't watch live because it was just in a weird time zone for me. I feel like it hasn't happened yet and I'm like waiting for it to start.
I feel like I hallucinated the whole thing. I have very clear memories of experiencing it, but none of them feel real.
I think, you know what I think this is about? I think that the glowing orbs were somehow hypnotizing us and changing our perception of the event. All hail the glow orbs. I think they, something was going on. It was hallucinogenic.
Yeah.
It was part of a larger theme of the event, which was luxury, expensive, rich,
love
money,
that. Love
production
that.
Value. Yes. The Cup of China made every other Grand Prix event from this year look like a fucking Christmas pageant in a church basement.
Okay, listen. Yeah, no, it looked so good. Production value truly is that drug. I agree. I think the lights did things to my brain that I was not prepared for. And I'm not sure what happened.
It may have also done things to these skaters' brains, but we'll get there. I think that the reason it was so high budget, I'm assuming, is because last year the Cup of China didn't happen and it was in Finland instead. And it was because, I think, because China was taking a year off to prep for the Olympics. And so if this is like an early... If this is an early indicator of what the next Winter Olympics is going to be like, which I assume this has got to be, you know, the arena and everything, it's like, wow, I am truly so hype.
I'm very hype. I'm also afraid that once again, I'm going to experience the Winter Olympics and then just like not remember it happening if they keep hypnotizing me like this. But I'm kind
That's
of at
true.
Peace with that. I'm kind of...
It could have already happened for all we know. It could be like a Matrix situation where we don't even know what year it is. We need Kaori to come free us.
Yeah, I always need Kaori to come free me. We're not even talking about her this episode, but I do need to
tell you,
I just got my nails done, and they're black, but they put, like, a coat of, like metallic green on top of them, and they look
cool.
Like the Matrix.
Ooh.
And I'm super into it. There's someone, I don't remember what her handle is. There is someone on Instagram, and I've seen them on Reddit as well, who actually does nail art inspired by... figure skating costumes, and I think that's such a cool idea. Like, look them up. Do we have any breaking news? Has anyone broken any news?
I don't think so. I would like to just say something that I have been thinking about, which is that...
Some personal breaking news?
I guess. Well, yeah, I guess a little bit. So I'm, as you know, our listeners may know, Netta and myself are, you know, trying to be ice skaters ourselves. Netta's doing amazingly, and I'm trying.
Wow.
But I just want to say, I skated twice this week, and I just want to say, like, it is so hard. Like, skating is so hard, and,
wow.
Like... We, and I know that that's, okay, listen.
19 episodes in, we finally solved it.
We've solved it. It's just that it's hard. No, and it's like, it kind of, no, it just struck me that, like, literally everyone we talk about, like, even the people who came in last or, like, whatever, like, they're all doing things that are insanely, insanely difficult.
Yeah.
And I just want to give a shout out to anybody who can, like, even just skate at all. Because it's
yeah.
hard. It's so hard. And it's important to remember that, I think.
Yeah, it's so easy when you're watching... Like, in a competition where people are jumping, like, triples and quads and or have, like, level 4 spins, it's so easy to see someone slightly fail and be like, what the fuck are you even doing there? And then you remember the amount of time and effort and practice that it takes to be anywhere. Speaking of personal breaking news, I fell yesterday. I have an extra bump on my knee right now. There's just, like, a second knee happening.
Is it like Yuzuru Hanyu's second knee that's just more muscles?
Yeah, no, this is just more... I don't even know what.
It's just more pain.
It's just more pain. And it's stupid because I skated 2 sessions in 1 day and it was fine. I was finishing up a water break with my friend and I just stepped onto the ice and I went straight down. And I'm still not sure how it happened. But it really, really hurts and I'm very embarrassed. Because
ice is slippery.
Yeah, it is. I literally just slipped and then I did the thing that skaters do when they fail a little and they don't want to admit that they just failed. I went back and like looked at the ice to like try to find something to blame it on. And there was nothing. For a second, I just forgot how to step at all.
I think that's hard though. I always actually, one of the most impressive things that skaters do to me is just get on the ice at like a full run and like are totally fine. Cause like, I think getting on the ice is the hardest thing. I have to like fully have all my weight supported on the wall to like step on. Cause like, I'm a person who trips getting off escalators too. Like, I think just going from one type of surface to another is like underrated how difficult that move is. So.
Yeah.
So let's talk about people who are better than we are.
Yeah, let's talk about people who can actually not fall just like getting on the ice. I want to talk about women.
I love that we get to start with Lisa today. What a wonderful like appetizer. It's right? Like skipping an appetizer, going straight into the full meal.
She's like, you know, the French go like dessert first. I feel like that's what we're doing over here. I have a lot of things to say, actually, about beautiful, wonderful Elizaveta Tuktomysheva. Who we love, respect, admire, stan.
So she came in 3rd place, which is why we're starting with her.
Well, first of all, she is a fighter. She did return. It is always thrilling if she didn't have the greatest short program jumps-wise.
I haven't seen her fall on an axel in quite a while.
Yeah, but it always feels weird with lady axels when you're like, oh yeah, she failed on an axel. It was like a -4 GOE. But she found an element that only 10 other people in the history of the sport can do. So it's always weird to, like, judge that. But anyway, she fell on her axles in her short. And then in the free skate, she came in 2nd because she is a fighter and she does return. I'm always very proud of her. I feel like she is good at, like, motivating herself and, like, having a slightly worse day and being like, no, we're not doing that. And then doing good. Still deeply happy that she kept drumming song. I always get scared because I never know what to expect with her music anymore.
It's true. And then she did kind of pull a surprise on us and come out with last season's free skate, which I thought was pretty smart. I do hope Caravan comes back because I love it. But obviously she's very comfortable with the You Don't Love Me, like, electro swing mega mix that she did. She was doing it over the summer at ice shows, so I think that it was smart because the fact that she's done it at ice shows also means, and, like, as exhibitions and stuff, like, means that she's kept it in her pocket and she's probably worked really hard on the showmanship of it, like you do when you're doing something for a show and not a competition, right?
Yeah. And also, for whatever's worth, she jumped gorgeously in that program. I forgot how much I love this program. Because I, like, put it to bed for, like, last year, and it happened. The second the music started, first of all, I had a moment of, like, cognitive dissonance because I wasn't expecting it. And I didn't, like, in my mind, I knew she wasn't wearing, like, the cute, like, suit situation with the gloves and everything. But I wasn't processing why that was going on. And then the music started and I was like, oh my god, this is the old thing. And I like it so very much. Like, I'm familiar with it. Like, I wouldn't be able to skate it, but watching it, I'm like, oh, I know what's happening. This is so good because I understand it. The fist bump cantilever is back.
Oh my god, I forgot about it. And right? It was like,
such a
treat. I don't know how I forgot, but it's because it's so iconic. But it healed me.
Yeah, I just didn't expect to be witnessing it in competition again. And the crowd reaction is just magnificent. And also, like, she has a moment when the music's, when it's, like, the transition between the different songs in this mega mix, where she's, like, literally in one spot just kind of shimmying. And this audience
just posing. It's very,
this audience was screaming as if she was doing something incredible. Because she is. Because she's magnetic, and it's so hard not to just, like, go off when she's skating.
Yeah, I was getting a little frustrated because I think a lot of the reaction to her bringing back the old free skate for this competition was like, good, this program is so much better for her than the other one. And I'm like, well, let's not hate on her caravan program. It's not that it's better for her. It's that she's been doing it for like a year and a half. Yeah. Obviously, you're better at something that you've been doing for a year and a half than something you just learned a few months ago. And like, I hope she does bring back caravan because I really like that on her. And it's not that different. It's the same genre. It's yeah, a similar it is character. Similar. Like, it's got to just be that, you know, maybe she needs to like meet with the choreographer again or something or whatever. But you know, I was like, it's not a bad program. I really liked it. I don't like to see people saying it's like not as good or whatever. I think it's just a comfort thing, and it was a smart move.
Yeah, it was smart because she still has a shot now at this. I mean, it's a matter of a lot of things happening, but she still has a shot at the final because she made a smart choice. I do not think she would have podiumed with a program she was not as secure in.
I completely agree. And it's, I think, yeah, it's going to be, it's, there's a lot of variables that are going to determine who goes to the final, but she's not out of the race. And that's pretty freaking cool. Also, I want to say that her gala look is stunning.
Oh my God. Yeah. Yeah.
It's like a green sequin slinky cocktail dress. And
it is so beautiful.
I said on Twitter, like, if I get to choose how I die, I want her to kill me, but only if she's wearing that.
Are you going to pick how you get to be killed?
No, dealer's choice. I just feel like if she was wearing that and that was the last thing I saw, I'd be like, yeah, that's fine. This is right.
I co-signed that if she wants to come over and kill me sometime.
Why don't you come over and kill me sometime?
Millennial flirting.
Oh, I love it. That's so real.
Horrible.
I don't care for A Star Is Born, and I didn't think that was like the best program gala-wise. The lighting was like artistique. I don't know. It wasn't like my favorite, but again, it was like she looked so good that I would have watched her do anything.
I'm upset that both her and Mariah are doing Star Is Born exhibitions. So I feel like that's...
Again, as soon as a movie comes out that has music in it, it's like that's all we then get to see on ice for the next year. And if it's not a good movie with good music, I don't like the music. I'm sorry. I like Lady Gaga when she's like doing weird club stuff and not when she's like...
can you give me your best impression of that riff?
Yeah. I'll actually do it. Hold on.
You're completely cut off from...
My phone decided you didn't need to hear it.
Yeah.
I can't do it. But it does feel very Lisa or Liza. I never know how we're saying it in any given week. But it does feel very her.
Except her beautiful boyfriend, Andre, would never do any of the bullshit man in this bullshit movie does.
We don't know. He could get up at the skating Oscars and pee himself. There's still time.
Yeah, welcome to the part of every single episode where I talk about a movie I don't like, and it's always the same two movies. The music in and of itself is fine. I will admit that I will pop off every single time Shallow comes on, just because I like screaming. I just like screaming the I'm off the deep end part, which I'm not going to do now because it's 11 p.m. Thank you. Yep, that one. But a common thread, and I will return to this later in the episode. It's going to be a great callback. It's going to be so smart. A common thread in many of those movies about people making music that we've gotten in the past couple years is a man berating a woman for the success he could never get and blaming her for quote-unquote selling out when all she's doing is succeeding in a way he never could. That's not a commentary on Liza or Andre or anyone else. It's just...
No, it seems like that's the opposite. It seems like he's really supporting her.
Yeah, because he's a good boy and a good skater.
Yeah.
And not Bradley Cooper.
Liza is the fighter of all time, and I'm really glad to see her podium. I would have been really, really sad if she didn't.
Yeah. It feels correct to see her podium. She was second in the free. All of that feels great. I am keeping my fingers crossed for her going forward with the rest of this Grand Prix and the rest of the season.
All right. Shall we move on to silver medal?
Yes.
Silver medalist Satoko Miyahara. I love saying that.
Feels right. Feels correct. Feels love right, the feels song. Correct. Love this song so deeply.
Part of the reason, honestly a huge reason, that she's in this position is because the Cup of China judges finally gave her the PCS she deserves.
Yep.
She has not gotten high PCS, at like high enough for what she deserves in my memory, and it is a frickin' crime, and I'm so glad she got higher PCS. Like,
she got 35.15 in her short program, which was higher than anyone else. It was higher than Sherbakova by 2 points, and the rest of them by like a margin of like 5-ish. And then in her free skate, she was the only person to break 70 in her PCS, with like 5 points over Sherbakova, who was in second. Feels correct.
You love to see it.
Mm-hmm.
Stunning. She still struggles with under rotations, but I do like to see that she's working with Lee Barkel. Seeing them in the Kiss and Cry together, it looks like they have a good rapport and that he's really helping her.
Yeah.
At least, like, identify issues. And as far as, like, you know, they haven't been working together long enough for any real changes to happen. I don't think she's only been there for a few months, and she's probably adjusting to, like, a totally different place to live and a different culture. But I don't know. I mean, it seems like a good partnership, just from what I've seen.
I always appreciate a coach who gives feedback straight away. And I don't always need that to be, like, the most constructive, like, teaching moment. But just, like, seeing someone give feedback while it's still fresh always speaks to, like, a real understanding of how to work with a given athlete. And I think that's a nice indicator of, hopefully, where this partnership's going.
Yeah, it was weird to see her with someone that wasn't Miyamata, because, like, she was there with other skaters. Yeah.
This is, like, a theme recently.
But, yeah, I mean, we've talked about her skates before. I feel like she's really coming into her own with this short program and kind of finding her own, like, swagger. And, like, I said, it looks like she's realizing she's hot.
Yeah.
And I think it's just, like, she's realized that it's kind of, like, a flirty, sexy program, and she's kind of, like, leaning into that more, which is really fun, because it's a different side of her.
She's allowing herself to have fun with it. I was having a conversation with someone about, like the Egyptian influence of that whole program, and, like, whether or not that's an okay thing to do, and I really want to express my stance that I think that in this case, it's not, like, cosplaying an Egyptian, like, deity or historical figure or anything like that. And I feel like it's perfectly fine to have contemporary club music from anywhere in the world used by anyone. I think that's, like, a matter of, like, cultural exchange, which is fine and fun and gorgeous in a jumpsuit. So I feel like we shouldn't be entering, like, unnecessary. There's so much conversation happening about the appropriateness of many programs this season that I feel like this should not be one of them, you know?
Yeah, I agree. And, like, I think the styling and the choreography are everything. She doesn't have any awkward King Tut hands, as far as I can remember.
She has, like, a little moment of, like, raising the roof, which kind of looks like it might be getting there, but not quite, because Benoit's smart.
Yeah, it seems well-researched and, you know, contemporary. Yeah, like, I agree with you that the contemporary feel of it kind of makes it okay, because
it's just club music. So much club music, like, samples Eastern rhythms and Eastern music. I'm obviously European, but I am Southeastern European, and a lot of our music is really similar to a lot of Eastern music, just because of, like, the way culture works and has been spreading throughout centuries and centuries and centuries. And I can't speak to this experience, but I can tell you that if someone was skating to, like, a club remix of kind of, like, the Bulgarian version of this, I would pop the fuck off and not be offended, basically.
Because Egyptians exist. Yeah. Like, Egypt is a real place, and Egyptians exist and go clubbing, and that's what this is, and I think that's fine.
Yeah, I think it's fun.
My favorite part of it that I had only noticed this particular time, and I don't know if it's new or if it's just because I know she went back and worked with Benoit a little bit on it, but or if I just didn't notice before, but there's this moment where she kind of, like, twerks a little bit. Do you know what I'm talking about? It's like she's, like, skating backwards and her butt's in the air and she's, like, popping her booty, and I love it. It's so, like, oh my god, Satoko.
Twerking on ice.
Yeah. You know what?
I'm not opposed to it.
I feel like
we should embrace it.
And I feel like she can do it. That's the thing, is that when it comes to like what judges will let you get away with, it's messed up that you have to build up a certain level of cred of like quote unquote respectability before you can get away with stuff like that. But I feel like because Satoko has like this very like prim and proper queen image, like she can twerk and it's fine. Somebody who I felt was totally robbed in PCS was Sofia Samadurova, because she's such a good performer.
God. Yeah.
And she got really, really low PCS every time. And I assumed it was because the judges just didn't like what she was doing, which is very much like, she is like, she performs in kind of a way that's like sexy and flirty. And she like, you know, makes a lot of big faces and lip syncs.
Yeah, she's a showgirl. She's like a full on showgirl.
I guess they just didn't like that. And so I was like, is it fair that Satoko gets to, you know, be a little extra? I don't know, but I'm glad that she was.
Yeah, I'm glad that she was.
Yeah, well, I wanted to say, too, that, as always, the Schindler's List Free Skate is stunning.
It's beautiful now.
Gorgeous. Yeah, different costume, much, much, much better.
Yeah.
Kept the good parts from the old costume, got rid of the bad parts.
Yeah, I really enjoyed this program, and I really hope that we can shake off the baggage that we've given it at the top of the season, because it keeps getting better, and she finally got the PCS she deserves for it. It's just so beautiful and dramatic, and it's a smart cut of the music. It's not as smart as Jason's. He still continues to have the best cut of this music out of everyone who's using it.
But yeah, this one is the one that is mixed with the Rachmaninoff.
Yeah.
So it's not pure Schindler. It's like cut with something else. Wait, can I also say, though, just real quick, her gala... Okay, so many things. First of all, the dress she wears is up there with Varanov's entire season of, like, the thing I have most wanted to own from this season. It's just, like, a black dress with really cool, like, mesh details, but I want it.
Yeah.
She skates to the same thing that Shcherbakova does her, I believe, her free program to. It's the Sati Noisien, and it's... Like, what a flex. I mean, I know that she didn't do it on purpose.
Yeah, but still.
But what a flex to do the gala of the one girl who's going to beat you and be like, this is how I would do it, bitch.
This is how I would do it. And it's arguably, I'm not going to say better, but like, here's a thing I would do. Who choreographed her gala?
Choreography...
I want to find out who choreographed her gala. Hold on.
Yeah, the choreography made more sense to me with the music because it incorporated dance that felt more of the same movement as Sati's music. I'm not a dance historian, but it just felt more like that.
Oh, it's style. Not listed yet. I don't know who did it for her.
It was gorgeous choreography. It was like sort of modern. It was more modern, basically. Yeah. And
agreed. She's always a pleasure to watch.
Anyway, speaking of people who skate to that exact music, surprising no one, gold medalist Anna Shcherbakova, who is going to the final.
Good for her. Yeah, she's like the first confirmed 30 points going to the final lady. Super excited. She was so sweet in her interviews. She was like, yeah, I feel like I could do even better, but I'm happy I'm going to the final because that's what I wanted. And I'm like, child. But yeah.
Well, I think that the media conversation around her was always like, oh, she's the nervous one. She's the unpredictable one. She could fall. And so she didn't. So good for her.
Yeah.
I think it was nice to show everybody like, nope, sorry, you're going to make that my story, but that's not the tea.
No, that's not the narrative. I've been enjoying... the Russian ladies taking themselves out of the narratives that the media is trying to put on them. I feel like that's an overarching trend with all of them. I think Kasturnaya last week kind of did the same thing when everyone was like, oh my god, she's been falling in practice, what's gonna happen? And then she like skated fine, and Shcherbakova like proving that she's not the nervous one, and Zhenya's interviews about like, first of all, like the old one that we talked about, and then like a recent one in which Brian Orser was like, let's not talk about what happened in the previous event. Let's just like talk about what's coming up next. Like the control that Russian ladies are taking over their own narratives is very exciting to me as a person who wants to root for them.
No, I agree with you. I think it's cool and it's really powerful because I think I don't like seeing people try to like manipulate teenage girls.
Yeah. I mean, I said it, I think last episode or the episode before that, it's just because Russian media is still, like, so very tuned in and very excited about figure skating that they still try to make so many stories out of just what's happening on the ice. And I really appreciate the girls being more in touch and in control and not letting this narrative drive their seasons. Having said that, I still fucking hate her free skate so much. And it's not her fault. It's the dress. It's the horrible, horrible dress as just upset me deeply. Someone on the internet was like, oh, it's cute because she clearly enjoys it so much. And like, that makes me like enjoy it as well. I don't remember who said it. I'm sorry if it was like one of her followers.
She did. She did get a bear that also has a dress that changes, which is cute. Somebody is like making her teddy bears that have, I mean, like pre-plushy corner. Somebody keeps making her teddy bears that wear the same outfits that she does.
That's always so cute. That's like such attention to detail. It's like cosplaying on like a smaller scale and it's very cute. But yeah, I'm all for her enjoying this moment and I've accepted it. We're going to have to deal with it happening. But I just don't like either one of the I kept waiting for the change just so I could like not be looking at the blue dress, which is arguably one of the worst things on the ice this season in either men's or ladies'. And it makes me upset because I really, like, I'm working on enjoying her skating more and, like, the rest of them, this camp. And it's hard when the dresses are garbage.
Yeah, it's like, I like the color. I'm trying to focus on the color. It's a nice color.
Oh, no, it's really, if the blue dress was just the blue dress, I'd be so happy. It's just the golden MeUndies illusion, which I'm just really not into.
It's funny. I was watching her. I'm still struggling a little bit to figure out what it is about her skating that I don't enjoy watching. And saying I don't enjoy watching it is putting it too strongly. I just feel a little neutral about it. And it's like she does move with a lot of fluidity and grace, so it's not flappy arms or stiff anything. I think she's graceful. There's like a frailty to it, I think, that I just it's just not to my taste personally. I just really like it when the skaters look strong and athletic. And I don't mean physically. I don't mean like in terms of their bodies. I mean, like, I like it when they move in a way that is both graceful and athletic. And for her, it's really very, like, just wispy, which is just not my personal taste. I don't think that there's anything bad about it or, like, that.
Yeah, it's okay to, like, not, like, enjoy every single type of movement. Like, that doesn't make you, like, a bad spectator.
I don't think you can even dock PCS for that. It's just a taste thing. But, I think it's that she's been given programs that could go to any music, and so it's hard for her to, like, really latch into the emotion of it. Like, you can tell she's trying really hard to, like, portray a story or an emotion or, like, give a face, but it's not clear what that's supposed to be, and I don't think that that's her fault. I think that it would be, she would do really well with a program with a clear, direction. But then every time a Sambo skater is given one of those, it's like so on the nose and cheesy and awful that I end up hating it. So it's like, I don't know what I'm asking for.
I feel like if I were to choreograph a season for her, assuming that I have the knowledge and ability to do that, what I would do is I would give her like a very like tragic heroine short program where she can just be like dramatic and like dark and sad, because that's easy to portray. Like, it's not a complex thing, it's just like high drama. So like I would give her like age appropriate, like just high stakes emo drama, and then I would give her like a deeply joyful free skate. So it's two very like very separate, very contrasting. Doesn't need to be complex. I don't need it to be like, here's the entire like storyline of a book or a film or anything. It's just a very sad program and a very, very happy program. So it's easy for a spectator to be like, oh, she can do two things. Simple as that.
You know what I would love for her to do? I just thought of something along the lines, and maybe it's just because I'm thinking about the holidays, but like, I think she would be so cute as like the Ghost of Christmas Past. You know how it's almost like an angelic child?
Yeah.
Something where she would be portraying something that's just like very joyful and sweet and like beautiful and ethereal, like a fairy or like a spirit or an angel. I guess that's what Rika's doing. I don't know. I think that's what she excels at, but I agree. So yeah, anyway, if we ever get to coach Anna Sherbakova, we have ideas.
Well, my new coach is Russian. That's getting me one step closer, I guess.
That's true. I do want to say that these judges, at least in her free skate, I don't remember exactly what happened with her short, but at least with her free skate, I know she got an unclear edge on every single one of her lutzes, and I was pleased to see it, because as much as, I don't mean to be, like, yucking anyone's yum, because obviously it's incredible that she can do them and land them and whatever, yeah. But the edges did not look, it's outside for a lutz, yeah. Right?
A lutz needs to look like you're breaking your ankle to be correct.
Basically, they just looked really flat edged. Like, they looked like, one of them looked just like straight up like a flip. Like, I'm not great at spotting that. So when I can tell in real time without it being slow-mo, that's how I know it's bad.
Yeah. The lutz just has a very dramatic entry. I say it looks like breaking your ankle just because it's such an unnatural, odd takeoff edge.
Well, yeah, I feel like there are people who can do it without pronating, but yeah, it's just like the edge, it looks like she's doing it from an inside edge, but, which is a flip.
Incredible, rotation's incredible, but like, it's good.
Yeah, at that point it's a quad flip, which is still really hard, but you know.
Yeah, I feel like, I don't want to praise them too much, because I don't want them to get in their heads, but I feel like the judges for the ladies' event didn't do horribly.
No, like, the Cup of China was good. I mean, I think at least for the women.
Yeah.
The men, I have some bones to pick, but we'll get there. The women judges, yeah. The judges, yep. For the ladies event, good. Yes, excellent.
Yeah, they tried. And good for them.
I still don't necessarily think that Shcherbakova deserved that high of PCS, but then again, as I said, my issues with her are taste things, and you can't really account for taste. And so,
yeah,
maybe she shouldn't be penalized for PCS for that. Maybe she's really good in their eyes, and I'm just not a judge. I don't know.
Yeah, that's valid. We'll talk about it again at the final.
Yeah, I mean, she deserved to win, and she's going to the final, and that's really cool. And she's really cute, and I'm happy for her. Wow, we just breezed through the women, huh?
Yeah.
Honorable mentions?
Let's talk about some more women. I want to start with someone we already mentioned, Sofia Samodurova, your current reigning European champion. I am so deeply happy we see her, we get to see her again, because it feels like it's been 20 years. She has gotten blonder, she looks grown up, she has new programs. I don't know how I feel about them yet, but it's great to see her. She's so charming, and it was just, even though she ended up fifth, even though she ended up fifth, it's just such a joy to watch her skate. And she reminded me of how she worked her way to her Euros win last year. And I'm very excited to see what she does going forward this season.
Yeah, and like, I love her Bombaleo program. I think it's so much fun. She has so much fun with it. Her costume is really cool for it, but I miss the one that she was wearing earlier this year at the Challenger Series events that was literally, like, a hideous neon 80s prom dress slash, like, bad bridesmaids dress, and it was one of those costumes that I kind of talked about last week, how it's, like, a bad costume is not great, but an abysmal costume comes back around for me, and is great, and that
maybe
was very much
that back
for me.
I hope she brings it back.
I mean, it, obviously, maybe it wasn't working for her because she was like not skating great in it, like maybe it was constricting, or maybe the color was making her eyes hurt
water
and she couldn't skate. Yeah, I have no idea, but it was a lot. But I do need to talk about how she skates her free skate to a very bizarre version of Tango to Roxanne, and it's a cover by what I think might be a Russian Vocaloid that smokes six packs a day. It is the weirdest thing I've ever heard in my life. It's like,
yeah,
it's so auto-tuned that I really do think it might just be like Hatsune Miku just trying to be dark and edgy.
I make a playlist, as you know, listeners, I have tweeted it, so go find it. I make a playlist of every single song that gets played during the Grand Prix series in the singles event, which means even if it's a mashup of stuff, I go in, and if people have credited their music correctly, I try to find the exact version. I spent a good amount of time today trying to find what version of Tango de Roxanne that is, because in her credits, she just said, like, it's the movie version. And I'm like, no, it's not.
What movie, girl? Because I thought at first it might be her, because it's so auto-tuned that I feel like it could be, like, a vanity thing. But I know what she sounds like, and she's actually good and has, like, a very high voice. So I...
No, it is Give me half a second and I'll tell you. It's
okay. While you do that, I want to say that I like her costume for this because I think we too frequently perhaps see like black and deep red for Moulin Rouge programs. Yeah. And I understand why. And it's correct, but she has like a black lace over like very, very, very pale ballet pink, almost nude kind of color. Mm-hmm. And it's very cool. It's kind of like lingerie-ish. Yeah. It's funny that, like, all her programs on ice are always, like, so sexy, and then she comes off the ice and has her little, like, Christian, like, cross necklace and is like, babushka, babushka! Like, I think it's so funny. Some people are just so different, like, in their performance identity than they are in real life. Your Sofia Salvadorova
impression is my favorite thing that I've ever heard in my entire life. Yeah, she has a very sweet, very, very sweet voice. It's a woman called Anna Dereshovska. It's Dereszowska. I want to say it's Dereshovska.
Is that Polish?
It sounds Polish.
Okay, so it's a Polish vocaloid.
Yes. She has a bunch of covers of a bunch of stuff on the internet. And her most listened to one is the Tango de Roxanne. And I'm just not sure why this choice.
I do think there is a tendency to want to skate to music that is sung by a person that is the gender of the skater, which I don't get, and I love it when people buck that trend, but I wonder if that was, like, the most accessible, like, that was one of the only ones they could find that was sung by a lady or something.
I don't know. There is a bunch of them that I listened to today as I was trying to find this one. I don't know what the deal is. Yeah, Sofia's beautiful. We spent as much time talking about her as we did about the podium.
Who else is there? We get to see Marin again. She's always effing adorable. She's so cute. She's such a good performer. And, oh, and Amber Glenn, who we love.
Podcast favorite Amber Glenn.
Podcast favorite Amber Glenn. She did get rid of the vagina dress. I was gutted. I was so upset.
I really like her new dress, though.
Well, it's just the one she was wearing before she got the vagina dress.
Yeah, but I really like it. I think it's pretty. I love her stacked ponytails, as usual.
It's very Star Wars. It's very good. She did a really amazing job in the short and was third in the short.
Yeah. Small baby medal for Team US. She seemed frustrated after her free skate because she was, like, looking at the scores and she was like, oh, I could have, like, she was fourth after her free skate before everyone else skated. And she was like, oh, I could have been third, like, blah, blah, blah. But then she said, she was like, oh, at Nationals, I'm going to get this free skate done. And I was like, I would love to see it. Can't wait.
I think what happened, I heard her talking with, I think it's Peter Kane is her coach. And I guess he said, he was like, oh, you could have done another combo.
Yeah.
Free. Like, I think she just lost track and, like, was worried she was going to Zayak, but, like, I think she had another combo she could have squeezed in. And that was sort of like, oh, just, like, I think that happens sometimes. It's almost hard to skate and keep track.
So impressive. Yeah, I was going to say, I think it's so impressive the math that goes on as you're skating and, like, especially in a free skate, like, trying to figure it out or like, if you miss something, having, like, the presence of mind to, like, recalculate. That sort of mental gymnastics is, like, so impressive to me. But yeah, I really hope we get to see her skate this clean at Nationals. Do we want to shout out any more ladies?
I'm trying to remember who was there.
Kailani Crane, looking beautiful.
Kailani designs all her costumes, and I think they're so fun, and I hope that she clearly has an eye for it, and I hope that maybe after she retires, she'll continue to do that. I think that she could have a real career in design.
I think she should make, like, an Etsy or just, like, a brand of her own and charge people stupid amounts of money for her incredible dresses. I would say I love Kailani's short program. It's the I Like It Like That program, which is just so summery and joyful, and I really like that song. And I popped off. It was great. I think I'm done too. Can you royalty free like cut just like the tiny fade out of I Like It Like That into the break?
I'll just sing it. I like it like that. I like it like that.
I always want to be doing the Cardi B part on top of it, even though it's not
I like
Cardi
things.
B.
I like other things. I like it. I like
it. Go take your break. I'm gonna.
I like peeing. I like breaking. I like giving us money on Patreon.
Jesus Christ. Okay, I'm gonna go get water.
All right, we're back.
We're back.
Cool. Well, welcome to the middle of the show. You know the drill by now.
This is just a quick break to first of all tell you guys thank you for talking to us on the internet while things are happening. That is free and it makes me very happy. Honestly, anytime someone adds us when they see something that they think we should talk about, it just makes my entire experience of an event so much more fun. But there is also other ways to make my day fun and exciting, and that's Patreon. Megan, what's Patreon?
Patreon is a website where you can go and you can sign up for a monthly tiny little snippet of a piece of money, and you can give that to us one time per month, and in exchange, we will give you a little bundle of prezzies at the end of the month, depending on how much you give us. We have three tiers. Depending on what tier, you can get like a shout out, you can get, we do a blooper reel every month of stuff that was like too crazy to put in the podcast.
Just so quirky and fun.
So quirky and fun, and like the biggest spenders who give us $7 a month get a bonus episode.
They get an uncut acoustic version of the two of us doing a two-person production of Sweet Charity.
Oh God, Jesus. So yeah, anyway, a bonus episode. It's usually something that, I mean, we don't cover competitions. Some, you know, last month we did like a review of Halloween skating programs. I don't know yet what we're doing this month, but it's gonna be great. We have some ideas kicking around. They're all very cool.
I have a
cool.
bunch of ideas.
Yeah, that has a lot of ideas. I'm not contributing anything.
But you can contribute at patreon.com. It's patreon.com/iced pod. Also, I've started doing a thing where I drop the little promo videos that we do with like a snippet of the episode just a little bit earlier than the rest of everyone gets it. So you get like a teaser of the upcoming episode just a little bit before everyone else. And that's, everyone gets that. Even if you're in the $1 tier, you still get that. So you can
pretend you're the guy from the show Inside Edition, where you know things before other people, before they've even happened. And you'll try to tell people, and they'll be like, we don't believe you. But then they'll see you're right, and they might think you're psychic. You could gaslight people into thinking you're psychic by giving us a dollar and getting the preview a day early.
Don't gaslight people, but do give us a dollar.
Yes, that's the moral of the story.
Also, go on Apple Podcasts, give us 5 stars, give us a review. That truly immensely changes things and helps. So do that. It's free and once again makes us very, very happy.
Yeah, and also Netta mentioned it earlier, but there is now a wonderful 1920 Grand Prix series playlist. Netta made one for last year as well, and they've been working very, very hard. And this year's is up. It is mostly complete. I love it so much. So if you've ever thought, gosh, I want to listen to only songs that people skate to, you're in luck. It exists now. And that's for free. That's for everybody. You just got to find the link on Twitter.
It's going to be bit.ly/GPSMP3. I'm going to make it after we're done recording. But you can just go and listen to it on Spotify. It is a journey. It takes you from like Amy Winehouse through Prokofiev to Elton John, and it's great. Also, I can tweet out the one from last year as well, because it's great.
Thanks so much for listening, and I hope that you enjoy the rest of the podcast. And you're a star. Don't let anyone tell you different.
Oh, that's
cute.
See
you on the other side. Oh my God, right?
I have an open letter to people on the internet. We're definitely going to listen because that's how the internet works. Yo, bullying is never okay. Also not okay is going on an Italian figure skater's Instagram story and telling him his beautiful mustard turtleneck is not beautiful. I'm just so upset about it. I'm profoundly upset that Matteo Rizzo from Italy is no longer skating in yellow.
I've been deprived of Colonel Mustard Matteo and I'm not okay with it.
I'm just profoundly upset about it.
It's like all it is like, oh my God, why doesn't the skater ever wear colors? Why doesn't the skater ever wear a fun costume? It's just black on black and it's boring. And then the second that Matteo brings us an interesting color, all
an of interesting a sudden, texture. It was plush.
an interesting silhouette. Y'all go on his Instagram story. He was clearly insecure about it because he asked. He said, is it, should I keep it? So clearly he was feeling a little insecure. And everybody knows that when your friend is like, I don't know about this outfit, you got to gas them up a little bit. That's not that they don't want you to be honest. They want you to tell them they look like $1 million.
His new costume, and I hope it's temporary, but it looks like he's shopping at like the Keegan messing at Target collaboration. It makes me very sad.
The Keegan messing Canadian Tire collaboration.
Just makes me deeply upset. Because it's the same thing, but he just took the color away. It's not fair. It's a fun song, and he's a fun boy. And he got bronze, and I'm just so... I'm not doing okay.
It's a great song, though. And I still haven't seen La La Land, so Netta was explaining to me that this is the song that is supposed to be bad.
Yeah, this is the bad song.
They did a bad job writing a song that I'm supposed to dislike. They should have made it a bad song. Yeah. Instead, they made it a banger, and I'm totally team John Legend in this
song. Oh, you should be. Yeah, he's supposed to be, like, the guy you don't like in the movie, but he's the only character with a brain. It's not as bad as... the bad song in... A Star is Born is definitely a bad song, for real. But this, like, the trope of this whole thing, like, oh my god, a sellout and this is bad music, is elitist and gatekeepy and dumb. And this song slaps so very hard that, like, people don't even realize it's the same. Because, like, if he... Okay, imagine he skates out and, like, the little banner graphic in the bottom says he's skating to La La Land. You would not be expecting what actually ends up happening. And I love that.
I guess I'm just a sellout.
I guess you just don't understand good music.
Yeah, but how can you completely ignore, like, centuries of systemic racism and then belittle a black man for, like, making money?
Oh, yeah, welcome to La La Land hell. That's the whole fucking point of the fucking movie, is a bunch of white people explaining jazz music. Anyway, that's a whole other story. Anyway, this...
Can I just say, too, that John Legend, there was that meme where he looked like Arthur. Arthur also wears a yellow sweater, and I feel like it worked on so many levels.
Wow. I have nothing. I just want to Photoshop that meme now. What I've been trying to say when I'm not having a personal crisis over everything about this is that this gorgeous short program was choreographed by Shailen Bourne, which is why it's flawless.
If she doesn't win the, like, Best Choreographer award at the Skating Oscars, I'm gonna lose my damn mind.
Yeah, she...
But Daniil will win.
She is responsible for so much of, like, the podium pieces. It's, like, everything... Like, 90% of every single podium that we're talking about in both men and women is her, Lori Nicole, and Benoit Rochal. Anyway, I just wish he... I hope he goes to... wherever Nathan Chen's mom shops and finds some other fabric, because I'm sad.
Yeah, I do think that he's getting a little more into the mood of his free skate, because I like flamenco on ice. I mean, obviously, and I don't just mean Javi's, like, show. But I just think flamenco is, like, so intense. Like, that's the word for it, right? It's, like, emotionally intense and, like...
high emotion stakes.
And... for some reason, because it has become, like, just a thing you check off on your, like, skating curriculum bucket list, like, every skater at some point in early-ish in their senior career does a flamenco number, it just feels so rote, and, like, everyone just kind of, like, goes through it and goes through the motions and doesn't commit fully to the intensity of it, which is why it's so hard to nail. Mm-hmm. And I think he's getting there. I think he's getting closer, and I applaud that he's really, like, trying to, like, bring that performance to it, because I know he can.
I find it very endearing, and I mean this, like, completely not sarcastically, I genuinely mean this. I find it so endearing that, like, the year after Javi retires, we have Matteo doing this, we have, like, Romain's short program. There's, like, a bunch of European men who just sew this Spanish-inspired shaped hole in our lives. And we're like, I'm just going to fill that with a program. And I appreciate that. I feel like there is a legacy to be spoken of here. And I know Javi didn't invent flamenco on ice and Spanish programs on ice. But I feel like just like the year after he's off the European circuit, it's kind of entertaining to see who's like, oh, I'm going to try this now because I might be the best at it. like all of a sudden. Right.
Yeah, I think Mateo had a little a surprisingly slow start to his season. I really thought he was going to come out the gate really like a huge contender. And it's been a little bit of a challenge for him, so it was nice to see him get a medal. He did have to, I think, water down his tech content a little bit to be a little safer, but I guess it paid off because he got bronze, so good for him.
Yeah, I'm hopeful for the second half of his season. Really looking at him when it comes to Euros and everything.
Okay, in second place is a skater we've never talked about on this podcast, and that doesn't happen very often anymore.
That's thrilling.
Yeah, Han Yan.
He's been retired for like 2 years, and then he was like, surprise, bitch.
I don't think he was retired. I think he was like just injured, right? I didn't actually know what the story was. He just hasn't been on the scene.
Yeah, someone used like the phrase like 2 years in retirement on the internet, so I just picked it up. I do not think he was ever officially retired. I think that's misspeaking.
This is awful. I feel like his like time in the sun was during our time in grad school when we couldn't keep up with skating. So he's kind of new-ish for us. I mean, I knew who he was, but I hadn't seen him at like a lot of competitions.
Yeah.
But
he did the Olympics and then he didn't compete last season basically because of things, retirement rumors were happening, but he like it was never anything official. He just like didn't compete. He's had like some injuries and stuff, but I feel like no one knew what to expect.
You know, I think that what ended up happening was that he just took some time off to get hot.
Yeah.
I need to do this. I need to talk about how the Han Yan glow up. I didn't expect it. Like, I wasn't ready. I didn't have time to prepare. And he, for me, wins the Jason Brown Memorial Award, even though he's still alive, for best glow up and best silver medal with no quads at this event.
Oh, that is such a weirdly specific award, but he deserves every second of it.
Yeah, like it's a similar, he's like...
I found myself so excited when he ended up leading after the short, just because it's not something I saw coming. Like looking at, before the event started, I was looking at the boys' starting order, the men's starting order, if you will.
I won't.
I was like, honestly, any three of those people could podium and I would be okay with that. And I genuinely meant that because it was a very cool field, exciting and unpredictable, which I enjoy in my figure skating. But I did not expect him to be leading after the short just because I didn't know what he was going to do.
It was very surprising because, as I said, he doesn't have quads. And it felt like it was a little bit of a, like, you know, making your comeback in your home crowd, your hometown. There was some inflation happening. I wasn't mad about it.
For sure. Yeah, for sure. But, like, I'll indulge in it. You know, we keep going back to talking about, like, how we seek narrative just in sport and in life. And I feel like this is one of those moments where I'm like, I'll give it to him just because, like, I like the story of, like, the comeback kid, you know?
I agree. And I wish... I don't know if there's an opportunity for this, but it would be nice if he could get a second placement because he podiumed, and if he got a second placement and podiumed again, like, he could maybe go to the final at this point because it's kind of wide open.
So, I mean, if someone pulls out of... I mean, Ross Telecom is in a couple of days, so I don't think that's going to happen, but if someone pulls out of NHK, that could... It's not impossible.
It's not impossible. Stranger things have happened.
Yeah, at this point, I'm not surprised. I need to talk to you about his short program, which is To a Thousand Years by, what's her name?
By Christina Perry, but it's covered by Boyce Avenue, who I love.
Yeah, no, it's just, it's, what I need to ask you is, the original, the Christina Perry version of this song, is in the Twilight Breaking Dawn soundtrack.
Oh, of course it is.
Does that make this one of the vampire programs?
Oh my god, do I have to go back and watch this again through a vampiric lens? I didn't take it that way. I thought he was just being like a handsome rom-com. Like he was dressed like a waiter. Like, you know what it was? It was like he was dressed like a waiter, but like you're at a wedding and like the song comes on and you're like, oh, I'm like really sad because I'm single at this wedding. But then you catch the eye of the hot cater waiter and then you start dancing to this song. Is that the story that I got from his short program, or is that a fantasy I had while watching his short program? You know, I don't know if there's an appreciable difference.
Yeah, I just thought it's the kind of romantic, like rom-commy, saccharine, like running through the rain in like Midtown New York a week before New Year's Eve or some bullshit that like doesn't always work for me just because it's so overplayed and it could be, you know, Emma Stone and like anyone, like Katherine Heigl and like anyone. But he sold it with so much like leading man conviction that I was like, you know what? This is acceptable.
He exudes, gosh, I'm so sorry if I seem like very thirsty. I'm trying to, like, he exudes like handsome energy, but I don't mean like physically handsome. I mean like, just, you know, that like energy of like just a classically handsome dude yeah. that just comes off and it's very like, I feel like Keegan has it too. It's mm-hmm. like,
That's why Keegan's, short program works.
Yeah. It's just classic romanticism without being too much or too little.
It's like earnest, like actual, not played up romantic, which is fine. Someone needs to be doing it.
Yeah. It was beautiful.
Yeah. I didn't care for his free skate.
I just hate that song. Wait, what song was it?
It's fucking City of Stars. It's La La Land again.
Oh, yeah. I just remember I didn't like it. It's
I feel fine. Like I mean, we just talked about it. I don't have it in me to talk about it anymore.
Well, and it's a shame because sometimes you see people do La La Land who it's a good fit for, but you kind of just can't deal with it because everyone else does it too. Like, again, like, I think Marin's La La Land is a good fit for her because it's, like, the right energy.
Yeah. Also, like, it is energy-wise, vibe-wise, very similar to his short program because it's, again, this, like, classic leading man romantic, like, love story thing, and we get that in the short program, and it's, like, short and sweet, and we get it. So I don't need the same story told again with overused soundtrack, basically.
Wait, you're right. And his gala is that I'll Take Care of You song that I didn't like, that Laureen LeCavalier used to sing to. And that song he has done for his free and short, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, I wish he would do something very different.
Give him an earnest, sexy rock free skate.
Yeah. We'll give him a second to, like, catch his breath and get back into competition, and then we'll say, okay, can you do something else?
Can you come up with something else?
I try to quote that so frequently, and I always get it wrong. But you always know what I'm trying to say and say it correctly.
Yeah, because I like that reference. I think it's very useful in figure skating, where while making my playlist this week, updating my playlist, I got a note from Spotify, which is like, hey, this song is already in this playlist. Would you like to duplicate? So many times. So all anyway, right. Happy he's back.
I'm really happy for him.
Yeah, exciting that he's back and he podiumed. And it's always such a fucking joy to see people podium for a home crowd. It's just, I know I said it last week, but it just makes me happy. Speaking of podiuming at home.
Speaking of podium at home, in first place, Bo Yang Jin.
He pulled it off. He pulled it off.
He did it.
I wasn't sure if it was going to happen.
Damn, that quad lats, man. Mm. So nice. When he lands it, it's like, bam.
When it's good, it's so good.
It's so good. He's gotten so much better with his artistry and his expressiveness. It's like, you can just, I love to see when you can tell that somebody's really worked on it, you know?
Yeah. I don't even know what to say about it, because we've kind of talked about his programs.
I have to say, though, like, that song, First Light, I have been wearing that shit out. It is such a bop.
It's a very good song.
I can't stop listening to it. I'm, like, running around the house, like, why would you leave me? You know I'm no good on my own. Like, all day. It's great.
Is that your, out of, like, this season, is that the song you're, like, stuck on?
Right now it is, for sure. For sure right now, yeah.
I've been, just a quick check-in, because I haven't mentioned Kaori in about an hour, I have been still stuck on No Roots. I need to listen to it once a day, and I need to be dabbing while it's happening, and I can't
stop. Yeah, I feel
stop.
Like this is my No Roots, is First Light.
Both very valid choices, I think.
I'm trying really, really hard to see his shirt as not pee-stained.
It's vanilla ice cream.
I know, I'm so sorry. It's my own yucky mind.
Yeah, it's disgusting, and I'm not here for it. I just keep seeing, like, vanilla ice cream, like, the way they illustrate it on, like, you know, when you buy vanilla ice cream and, like, the tub or, like, whatever container you have it in makes it look so gorgeous and there's, like, flowers and shit. And when you open it up, it's just, like, white. But it's delicious. But it reminds me of that very color scheme.
Right.
And I think that's very cute. Also, one of our listeners and Twitter friends said it looks like sunshine. And I'll take that as well.
Well, I was thinking of it like, yeah, it's like light. It's like light coming through the window because yeah, that's like what the song's about. I'm trying to go there mentally. I feel like I'm maybe like 10% of the way there, which is, you know, small steps, right?
I need you to take yourself to the store and get some vanilla ice cream for research.
Vanilla ice cream.
Get some like syrup for it. It's customizable ice cream. You can do anything you want with it.
It's bespoke. I like my ice cream, like, extra. I want it to have, like, 100, like, cookies and weird flavors.
See,
and shit
I can't do that because, like, I can't do, like, chewy things in my ice cream because my teeth hurt. Also, for all of my musical theater listeners, can you please congratulate me for going through this entire bit and not making She Loves Me references?
I was going to say. I mean, it was in my heart the whole time.
I fought very hard for it.
The free skate, I continue to love his weird, like, cyborg butterfly man costume.
Yeah.
I don't understand why there has to be, like, hospital sound effects in there. One of our friends thought that maybe it was about him dying and then having his consciousness implanted into a robot.
Wait, I don't know if it's about him dying, but it's a mashup of, like, two different songs, two different pieces, but the piece... overall, because it's Benoit and he always has a concept, it's called The Last Heartbeat.
Oh my god, that's awful. So it's about dying?
I learned this through, like, making the playlist and looking at everyone's music selections. I don't know if he is supposed to be the hero of this story. I don't know if it's about him dying. I think that's morbid. But also as a goth, I'm kind of like, go off.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that, but I think that he does a beautiful job with the choreography, and honestly, just, like, just seeing him win in front of a home crowd, like, there's nothing better than
just
that.
Just joyful.
Like, you just always root for him. Like, I was talking about one of my rink mates was saying that she always roots for him because he has kind of an underdog vibe, and it's true. Yeah. Like, people always forget about him, even though he was, like, one of the pioneers of, like, the quad movement or whatever, quote unquote.
Yeah,
or, like,
he's incredible. I mean,
as we said, like, when his jumps are on, they're on. They were mostly on, and it was enough for him. And, yeah, like, I really hope that he can carry this energy into the second half of the season.
His foes continue to be very scary, but I hope we see less of that and more of the big, beautiful...
Because he's like Keegan. I keep bringing up... Keegan's, like, the one I keep bringing up, right? He was there, I mean, right?
We can talk about him in a second.
We can talk about him, but, yeah, but I feel like Bo Yang is even... more of a, like, he jumps so high and hoy, so high and so fast, and it's, like, so explosive that when it's off, it's, like, terrifying.
Yeah. It's just, like, their approach to the whole jumping thing is very similar. But anyway, yeah, I'm very happy that he won. I feel like he deserved that, and I feel like it's a good sign for him going forward this season. It's just very exciting. Also, his hair looked very good.
Yeah, he looked great, and I hope that he gets the confidence to, you know, maybe have, like, a really fabulous... I mean, it's going to be fun to see Chinese nationals this year, too, because Han is back, and He Zhang, and, like, all the great talent that we saw. A lot of Chinese competitors at this event were really
fantastic.
Yeah,
I'm excited for Chinese nationals now.
Maybe they'll actually, and it's so funny because I remember last year was so, like, low budget and janky, and I'm assuming it's probably because they were, like, fixing up whatever rink
was.
I hope it happens here this year.
Oh, it must, like, if it's their most, like, equipped. Can I just really quickly, because we're basically done with the competitive part of this.
Mm-hmm.
China. This event was great. Everything about it was gorgeous. We do not need the aerial camera. We do not.
We don't.
We do not. You cannot see what's happening. I can see that, like, a fucking spin is being, like, rated as a level 4, and I don't know what's happening because I'm seeing the top of someone's head. We don't need that.
It's not good. Yeah, like, it's makes me so mad. I do think the aerial cam is kind of cool when they do a moving, like, a panning shot while they're doing a step sequence or something. Like, that's kind of cool. But, like, overall, I don't understand why people think we need it. I just hate it so much. And I don't think anyone likes it. So I hope they listen to all the feedback.
I don't think they will, but I hope they do.
Yeah, no one cares.
Also, like, if anyone happens to be listening to this but hasn't listened to our episode with Jordan, go back, listen to that, because he has smarter things to say about on ice perspectives.
He does. Yay. It's a bad perspective from which to look at the ice is the, yeah. the aerial cam.
It's just confusing. It makes me feel dizzy, and I don't like it. Everything else is great, though. Do you want to shout out men? Do you need to talk?
Yeah, I need to talk. So I'm going to talk about this now because I have real therapy tomorrow and I need to talk about like actual issues about my real life. So this is going to be...
Do I need to DM you my PayPal info?
No, you're my friend, which means you're my free therapist. That's what friends are. Correct. It's all about abusing your friend's emotional energy, right?
Yeah, I love doing free emotional labor. Talk to me about KG.
Didn't we almost have it all? Oh, God, I can't, like, I, like, actually almost cried, and, like, I don't usually, honey. I cry for figure skating when it's, like, you know, like, someone skates to a really beautiful program or has a really triumphant moment. I don't think I've ever cried from disappointment.
You're becoming those, like, fanyus who, like, sob holding a Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah, well, I think it was, like, it kind of came back to me more than anybody else.
Okay,
I think
Celine.
It was one of those things. Well, yeah, I was, like... Why am I upset? Is it because I'm making this about me? Yes. Is it why can't I ever have anything that I want in life, like Keiji Tanaka making the Grand Prix final? Yeah. Maybe this is not about him. But I will say, I think I had to, like, take a perspective check here for myself because at the beginning of the season, I didn't expect him to podium at anything at all. And then the fact that he's come so far, he won gold at the US Classic, he won bronze at Skate Canada. And then I was like, oh my God, if he medals here, he could go to the final. And it was like all this stuff happened. And it really, it's like the fact that he even could have made it, the fact that he was, you know, Jackie Wong's prediction to win, like, it's amazing for him. And he's done so well. And he just, I don't know what happened. I genuinely don't know. He just, like, didn't have the consistency. Jumps were popped. Things were missed. If he had done his full planned content, yeah, but like it just didn't happen, and that's fine.
I feel,
you know, I love him anyway, but I was disappointed, and you know, I don't know.
I feel like he had the same math in his head, and I feel like we've seen this happen to other competitors as well. Is like when you gain a little bit of momentum and things that seemed out of reach start seeming possible, and you get in your head about things that you're capable of doing, but now it, like, the stakes are higher, and some people, like, sometimes it's not even some people, it's like sometimes to everyone that could, like, affect performance is if it's like, oh my God, this one jump is the difference between me making the final, not making the final, making this podium, not making this podium. It might fuck with your mind. Like, I don't know his psyche. Like,
no, but I think he was starting to, like, feel that... I think he probably wasn't used to being, like, in the top contenders.
Yeah.
I mean, this is all very new for him. Since juniors, he hasn't been in that, like, conversation for winners so frequently. And I wonder if that's unfamiliar. I mean, the thing is, he's so, like, quiet and tight-lipped in general that, like, he's not one of those people that talks a lot about their process. And so it's hard to speculate about what it could be. But, mm-hmm. I mean, that's the only thing that changed, really. Was that all of a sudden it was possible.
I hope he works through that because he's still a competitor for, like, nationals podium and four continents and, like, a bunch of stuff. Worlds.
Yeah, not to mention, I was thinking about how, and God, Jesus, I'm knocking on wood because I don't want to jinx this, but Yuzu, like, never goes to nationals. And I know he wants to this year, and I don't see any reason why he couldn't, knock on wood again. But he, if Yuzu didn't go to nationals and Shoma didn't get it together, like, KG could win that Japanese nationals.
I would love that song so much. Just because.
I mean, so do Yamamoto also. Yeah. But well, so it could be, it could, we don't know. Could be a total upset. Can I also say, I do feel like KG was robbed for PCS a little bit. I think, but I will also say though, like, I think that he is a very, very, he always gets really good PCS. He always gets the PCS he deserves. And I don't know if this was his best couple of performances.
Maybe his PCS died so Satoko's could live.
It's possible. And I also think I'm being a little bit of a conspiracy theorist here because stuff like this happens and it's unpreventable, but like, I don't think it helped him that he had to skate the same music in the same costume right after Brendan Carey. And it's one of those fluke things that just sometimes happens because it's all random and no one fucking compares notes, but like, he literally skated Sherlock Holmes in basically the same costume. And if I was a judge, I don't know how I could possibly view it with fresh eyes.
Yeah, I try to think of, like, if I'm directing something and a bunch of people come in doing the same monologue, like, the fourth person in, your brain can't process it anymore. Like, even
it's
if
true.
It,
and they
it's
tell
so
you
hard.
That. They tell you that as an auditioner, too. It's like those kinds of things you can't control. Like, you could go in and do the best job, but you could be the fourth person who sang that day, and they just don't want to hear it again.
Yeah, it's just hard. Like, one of those things where judges happen to be people, and it just happens to be very hard to, like, sustain your focus. Especially in a free skate, because that's 4 minutes. That's a lot of music. That's, like, 8 minutes of Hans Zimmer.
It's a lot of Hans Zimmer. Anyway, but I love KG forever, and I'm so proud of him, and I hope that it just goes even better for him as, you know, up and up and up.
I'm sure it will.
Anybody else you wanted to talk about?
Yeah, I want to talk about Keegan Messing's beautiful new costume. I know you had opinions, and I was like, no, fuck you, because you were wrong.
You know what, though? I actually, like, if you like something, it does make me like it more, because I feel like you have a better eye and, like, more...
Thank you.
You know more about fashion and costuming than I do, and if you like something, it makes me be like, okay, let me consider why Netta likes it.
I feel like Keegan's new costume for his short program is a lot more wedding-y, and we all know...
It does fit the program a lot better.
Yeah, we all know that, like, this was his wedding song and all of that. It's this gorgeous color that's, like, champagne, but, like, rose goldy and beautiful and shiny, and it's like a faux vest situation. Also, he's wearing, like, very nicely tailored pants with it. It's not just, like, the generic, like, black slacks that all the boys skate in. They're, like, high-waisted and dark blue and so pretty, and it makes him look like the young groom that he is. And I feel like that makes this program so much better. And he kept the dark, edgy stuff for his free skate, which gorgeous and it works and it's stunning. But I'm just happy we see the contrast between, like, Keegan, the wedding boy, and dark, edgy Keegan in his free skate.
That was my thing. I think the reason I reacted so negatively to it was because I was so relieved that we weren't getting the same sweater boy Keegan again this season. And then he kind of went back to something a little more dressy and wholesome. And I was like, no, keep it. But then he did keep the nice Guns N' Roses. And you know what's great about that costume and that choreography to the Guns N' Roses program?
The sleeves.
Is that it's not... Well, see, no, I was just going to say, like, overall vibe. Yes, the sleeves. But specifically, like, they don't feel costumey. Like, he didn't wear, like, a spiky collar and, like, an over-the-top t-shirt and ripped jeans and
Megan,
like,
Mick Brazina wants
hands.
To have a word with you.
Listen, Mick Brazina can do that because his dorky dad vibes are so off the roof, even though, like, his child isn't even born yet. They just always have been. But I feel like...
Yeah, no, it's very earnest, sexy rock. And I feel like it's nice contrast. And I also think that his... wedding outfit is I'm just gonna call it his wedding outfit now. It's like the grown-up version of Sweater Boy Keegan. It's like he's
Sweater Man Keegan.
Sweater.
Can I float a theory?
Please.
What if Han Yeon was waiting tables at Keegan's wedding?
It's a full narrative. I love that.
It's the Cup of China expanded cinematic universe.
And then Baby Prince Jang Hwan Cha was the one wedding guest who shows up wearing white, and everyone's like, what are you doing?
But no one can stay mad at him because he's so cute.
He's so cute. He got a perm.
Listen. I refuse to hear a goddamn word against that perm. People
on
the
beautiful.
Internet were pressed. They were like, go back to the mushroom cut, Junwon. Why did you change your hair, Junwon? Let him experiment. He's growing up. He's experimenting with his image. I love it. I thought it was so cute. Why can't we just let him...
Let the boy have a good time. Also, I hope he podiums at something soon so we get to talk about it in depth. But I'm... once again, obsessed with one of his beautiful blouses, which looks so prim and proper, and then you turn around and the back is just a fucking party.
Literally, like, no one does a slutty back detail like Lil Jon One Cha. It's every single shirt, it's a new and innovative take on the slutty back detail. It is,
it's
like,
truly
what
inspiring.
A signature thing to have. My
Just
God.
Deeply
His
inspiring.
Mind.
I stand so hard. Let me see who else.
He had a hard time, but Brian was really sweet with him in the free yeah. skate. He was, but in the short, his score was like 69. Nice.
Nice.
And Brian was like, Ay, we haven't been down there in a long time. And I was like, nice. But no, but I felt bad for him. But in the free, he got some more affirmations of like,
he
okay,
fought
we're
so
getting
hard. Better. He climbed from 11th place in the short program to 6th in the free skate.
It did feel a little bit like after having had a tough short and a tough couple of competitions leading up to this, I got this feeling from him like, all right, you know what? Like, screw this. I'm going to go out and nail it.
Yeah.
I kind of got that energy from him going into the fray.
I hope he keeps that energy for the rest of the season as well. I'm looking at this list. Camden Polkinen continues to be my favorite person in the world.
What a little doll face.
I'm a 24/7 stan account for his eyebrows and his performance, and he is a beautiful, beautiful boy. I'm so excited to see what he does at Nationals. I have no idea.
Yeah, I have no idea. And it's crazy that I think we hyped up the quad toe too much. I think we were talking about how consistent it was. And it's just, you know,
I think it was another one of those cases like KG where we said it so much that we jinxed it. And I know that's not how it works, but like it was so hyped up like on the internet and by like reputable sources that like people listen to that I feel like he got in his head about it maybe a little bit.
Yeah, I think that that's real. I love that he is with Tammy. I think Tammy's probably been a really, you know, great fit for him because it seems like he's really excelling. And it's just wild to me how so many skaters very clearly have a preference for the short or the free. I feel like Camden always nails the short and has a hard time with the free. And even last year, I feel like his West Side Story free always gave him trouble, but his short was always really solid. And some skaters are totally the opposite. I think of like, I mean, KG, I think of like Lisa, I think of Evgenia, who are much more free skate people. It's so strange to me, but I mean,
I have no idea what like the deal with that is, but yeah, it's definitely a thing that we can observe and track. The data prince himself was there, Brennan Carey. I continue to love his short program so much.
I don't, like, it's so, I don't know what to say about it. It's so stupid. It's like, what's the theme of this program? Stupid.
I
that's
love
literally
that
what it is.
So
there's
much.
A moment where he's like, oh, my back. And I'm like, that's me. There's, even in the free skate, look, I'm obviously biased and I like KG Sherlock better, obviously, but Brendan's fun. There's a part where he pops off and like mimes, like I think Jackie Wong described it as drinking and littering, and that's what it is. He like mimes drinking and then like throwing shit on the floor, and I'm like, if you're gonna mime things, mime stuff like that. Don't be vague. Yeah. Don't. There's also actually a part where he like picks up a clue off the floor and looks at it. Like
what
it's very
dork.
Like KG's Sherlock is like
he's like sexy
like,
Sherlock. Like
it's like sexy artistic like.
Sherlock.
Yeah, and, like, Brendan's is, like, very, very, like, literal, and there's something fun about that, too.
Yeah. I want to shout out Cricket Club baby Conrad Orzel, who...
I'm sorry, I think you mean Cornbread Orzo.
Cornbread Orzo, this poor child suffering. Shout out to the our Polish follower on Twitter who tried to teach me how to say Orzel. I've been trying. I'll keep trying.
Oh, it's Orzel?
Yeah, they sent us like a video on YouTube of how to say the word. It means eagle in Polish, which makes sense because minus the Z, it's orel in Bulgarian. Slavic languages are fun. It means eagle, and he is a little fly boy, so that's cute.
He's so cute. He had such a hard time. And you know what? I apologize. I don't know who it was. It was one of the cricket coaches, but I didn't recognize that was with him. In the Kiss and Cry, who was really giving him a nice speech about how like this is your first Grand Prix and now you know what it's all about and everyone goes through this and you have to just like, you know, learn how to be at these big events and you can't be so hard on yourself. You did a great job. It was really sweet. I thought he did a lovely Lovely Les Mis.
Right? I loved Hayley. The second they came out for warm up and I saw him wearing the red, white, and blue cockade, I was like, oh boy, here we fucking go.
I know, I recognized it immediately. I loved it. It was a good Les Mis, too.
I love it. It's a good cut and it's the original French recording. We have no choice but to stand, and I hope he learns, like, genuinely learns something from this and, like, continues to grow.
And not in a Tyra Banks way.
Yeah, but, no, like, in a genuine way. And last but not least, I do want to shout out my beautiful boy, Andre Lazukin. I know we mentioned him earlier. I continue to love his Magda knife so very much.
Good old girlfriend. Yeah, and I want to shout out the announcers because I know that we, like, made a big fuss about cornbread orzo. But, like, listen, Chinese is very different from, like, English or whatever. The pronunciations are vastly different. If you've ever tried to figure out how to pronounce Chinese words so as an hard. English speaker, it's very difficult. Yeah. So the fact that, like, most of their pronunciations were so good, it was, I mean, I'm not making fun of people's English by any means. It was just funny to me that they just gave up.
No, there was relatable. There was the moment where it's like, from Canada. And just nothing.
Sorry to this man.
Sorry to this man.
His little face.
Oh, but God. Also, like, the male announcer who was announcing in Chinese, especially with, like, the Chinese team's names, like, the correct pronunciation of that. I'm not, so like, hype. Being fetishy about, like, oh my God, exotic languages or, like, whatever. I just think it sounds so fucking cool. I was like, yeah, boy! Oh, yeah, like, every so time. Hype.
They also, like, when they were announcing all the skaters, they were like, this promising young skater, this Chinese hero, like, they gave a lot of great expectations, like, they gave all of their own local skaters a little extra, like,
I yeah, but then cute. It was, like, an Andrei Lazukin, he's from Russia.
There was one, I think it might have been Camden, where they said he just became an adult. And I think they meant, like, he's new to seniors, but I was like, he kind of did.
He just became an adult. Okay, Megan, let's go ahead and talk about some plushies, please, because there is a lot to talk about here.
Oh, there is so much. Listen.
Cue the grunge.
This plushie corner is full. Like, this is the quantity is overwhelming. It is so much. They really went off. And not only that, I wish we could, like, put that, the whatever little flower girls, which first of all looked adorable.
Oh my God, their fucking pants were so cute.
They went out of their way to put plushies in the hands of the skaters. This is necessary work. This is praxis. This is plushie corner praxis. And I wish that those flower girls could give a seminar to all other flower kids involved in ISU competitions. Agreed. That is how it must be done.
Just for us, for our own just for personal us. Agenda.
Now, just for the sake of math, because you know how much I love that.
Jesus Christ, are you doing okay?
There was such a volume of plushies at this event that I actually put together some data.
Oh my God.
I'm no skating scores, but I did make a spreadsheet.
Oh my God. You have a spreadsheet you didn't tell me about?
It's so bad. I didn't want to show it to you.
That is so charming to me.
Here are some things that multiple people got. Avocados, hearts, Pikachus, a lot of Pikachus, and pandas. And I just wanted to say, those, I'm not going to go through every individual one of those. Those were the heavy hitters. Here are some notable things. So, all right. Junwon Cha's thing, like, you know how sometimes skaters have, like, a thing, and then, like, they get a million of those?
Yeah.
Junwon seems to be Mario mushrooms.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's because of the hair or what.
I feel like it's because of the hair.
It's kind of cute, but it's concerning to me because I think that his consistency issues in the recent seasons have been because he's been growing too much, and the last thing he needs is those mushrooms that make you bigger. He needs to, like, that could be the problem. He's grown too much too quickly. I think he needs to lay off the mushrooms.
It's actually a video game joke that I can understand, which is
rare. See, I'm doing this for you. Thank you. He also got a little doll version of himself.
Oh,
it was cute. So cute. I'm dying. He, in the free skate, he got so many, he was literally dropping them. He could not hold all of these. It was like, oh, look at, I can't, look at all these fucks I don't give. It was like a meme, but it was, somebody made that meme for us. It was him with an armful, and I tried to document what he got. He got another mushroom, a teddy bear, Pikachus, a palm tree, a car. Like,
a car. Just actually the keys to a car that was parked outside. Like,
yeah, and you get a car, and you get a car.
A TV.
A TV, a speedboat, a vacation to Amsterdam, the whole showcase showdown. Okay, now here's something I wanna propose to you. Okay.
Yes.
Yiju got, she got a small panda, and she got a pillow. And the pillow was a mini scoop ice cream cone. But one of the scoops was a cat head. Is this too morbid for figure skating?
No, that's incredible.
I think it was Pusheen. You know that one cat on the emojis?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. It was kind of dark for me. I was like, that really took me to a place.
No, I'm into it. Like I said, I'm goth. I'm into it.
Well, Yi Christy Leung also got an ice cream cone with a teddy bear head instead of an ice cream. It was a little dark for me, but if that's, you know, might be the intended audience for that.
Maybe it's not like cats and bears and stuff. It's like those people who make like incredible like food art, and it's actually like ice cream, but it's just like expertly scooped up to like look like things.
I like this narrative better. It's less troubling to me. Okay, Chen Hongyi got a bunny and what was either a plush hard candy or possibly a sausage.
Jesus.
Wasn't sure about that. Kailani Crane was handed a small puppy. And the
just
coach
a real
was
life
like,
puppy.
Just a real puppy. A puppy! and their coach was like, oh, is that what you got? She was like, yeah. So I like it when they acknowledge the plushies in the Kiss and Cry. I thought that was good. Amber Glenn got an alpaca. Like, hello, that's amazing. She got a panda loaf.
She got the cutest dinosaur.
The cutest dinosaur. And when she got the panda, she was like, oh my god, I want to go see the pandas while I'm here. And Peter Kane got to hold the alpaca, and then she tried to make them fight. It was like, she knows what we want. This is why she's our favorite, because she knows.
She
knows what the people want.
She supports the agenda, for sure.
She does. She does.
Speaking of coach interactions with plushies, I do want to shout out Alexei Mishin, who Lisa got like a bunny that he ended up holding, and he was, like, just gently petting it as they were waiting for his course.
I think that was the Pokemon one.
Couldn't see because he was holding it, but it was funny.
Yeah, well, because we had to consult our friend and local Pokemon expert, friend of the podcast, Danae, who knows everything about Pokemon, and I asked, I was like, what's the one that's, like, a bunny but with a green lizard hat? And I'm told its name is Chespin. So it's even better to me that Alexei Mishin was holding an obscure Pokemon.
And just like gently petting it like a child. It was very sweet.
Honestly, like if you make a stern coach hold a plushie, that's god tier.
Just gold.
That's the content
gold
we want. Marin got a rain of Pikachus, which is always good. She also got a whale. I love whales. And I have said frequently that if I was a skater, my thing would be whales. So I get excited when they get whales. And she got a purple heart, which I thought was maybe an allusion to her courage from her car accident.
Aww.
But let's see.
We got to talk about it.
Oh, we got to talk about it. We got to talk about Sherb's thing as the teddy bears. She got the biggest thing I've ever seen in my whole life.
It was insane. It was so big. It was pure comedy. I'm obsessed with the fact that Daniil's job nowadays is just making sure giant plushies get held up. The amount of puppeteering that was happening with this gigantic bear was so funny and endearing to me. I almost enjoyed Daniil in that moment.
Yeah, well, I think that when he kind of comes off sometimes as like the butler of Sambo, and that's when I actually do like him, because I think that...
Oh, when he comes off as a manservant?
I was going to say, like, a man can be endearing if he's like a butler to a bunch of powerful women. That's for me when men are like...
Someone posted, I do want to talk about this. Someone posted on Twitter a series of pictures from like as she was heading off the ice, and she's like kind of like making him carry it off. And apparently like what she was calling out was like, Mishka, Daniil Markovich, Mishka, which means the bear, Daniil Markovic, the bear. She was like, and there is a picture of the two of them just like, she's like manhandling this bear's head. And then he's like holding it by its tail. It's genuinely super funny.
The person who brought it posted pictures on Twitter of it like vacuum sealed in the plane on the way there. And it was the stuff of nightmares.
I'm worried about. Yeah, I saw that. It's funny. I'm worried about like how she's going to get it back, because I doubt she has access to like a vacuum seal bag and a vacuum at like whatever hotel. Like, I know they donate a lot of them and all of that, but, like, if you want to keep something, I'm not sure how you can't show up to the airport and be like, sir, this is my emotional support teddy bear.
You would need to buy that thing, like, 2 seats on an airplane.
Yeah, it's so big. You would have to give it, like, extra leg room in, like, first class.
Yeah, well, maybe with a gold medal, she can put some of her winnings towards getting that bear some seats on the plane.
Just important humanitarian work.
It's true. Okay, other weird highlights. Here's some things that happened that were the weirdest for me. Cao Chi-yi got a big pair of kissy lips.
Oh.
Very weird.
I don't like that.
It was super, super creepy. Andre Lazukin, he got an avocado, but also Tatiana Prokofieva handed him a glossy photo of Lisa, and he was like, I want that. Imagine being like in the kiss and cry and your coach hands you like a photo of your girlfriend to hold up. Like, that for me is like a plus. Okay, KG got a Pikachu. Keegan got a Buzz Lightyear, which was very cute. He did. I wrote Boyang into the Spider-Verse. It was a reign of Spider-Man and Peppas. And then I started asking myself, does he know about Spider-Pig? Because that to me seems like a really nice confluence of his interests. He also got a stuffed guitar, and he played it in the Kiss and Cry, which was great. He played it. Hanyeon got Stitch, and I wrote, he must be a snitch.
Oh.
Get it?
Yeah.
I thought it was funny.
It's great.
Mateo got an ice cream cone that's thankfully just ice cream and not animal heads. Here's something I had a question about. Why did Kailani receive just an orange cube?
I had questions about that. It felt like a dice of some sort, but it had like text in I'm not sure what language on it.
It was sex dice.
I don't know. And as a nerd, first of all, my thought process was, do plushy dice exist and can I please have all of them? But also I was not sure if it's like a thing that I just don't get the reference of, or if it's just a cube with some text on it. If someone knows, please tell me.
SpongeBob. Yeah, can you tell us if you know what that cube was?
I tweeted about it, but it got lost in like my live tweeting. So like, please let me know. I'm very curious for real.
Hongyi Chen got a pillow with a chef on it, but I couldn't tell if it was like a chef doing like a chef's kiss, or I don't understand that one. That was a mysterious thing to me. Oh, Juyi also got a banana, a flower, a duck, a unicorn, and a gigantic Totoro.
That's incredible. Don't know
if I'm a bad weeb because I don't know Ghibli stuff that well, but I didn't know if it was Totoro or if it's a different thing when it has bunny ears. I know he has like multiple friends,
yeah,
who are also like of his
kin
race. I don't know. Race, like, is that being a Totoro is a race?
That's why I said Ken.
Totoro Ken. Marin also got a huge Pikachu. Lisa got a fat gray mouse, a big owl. Mishin was holding a
dog. She did not get a picture of Andre, which I feel like is offensive.
Yeah, that's true. That's weird. I think overall, this plushie corner, okay, here's what I'm going to say. Obviously, 5 out of 5 plushies. It would be outrageous for it to not get 5 out of 5 plushies. I do think if we are going to go in the spirit of the Grand Prix and do, like, a tiebreaker, I still think that Skate Canada would edge out the others. I mean, would edge out Cup of China purely because weirder for me trumps more. But yeah. I, once again, want to applaud the Flower Kids for making sure that the plushies made their way into the Kiss and Cry. That's key. That's the step that's often missing.
They were doing the Lord's work, and we appreciate them.
They were. Do we want to talk best Kiss and Cry moments?
I don't really have a lot of those because I feel like I mentioned them in passing while talking about other things. But I do want to say that Nam Nguyen seems to be holding Keegan's hat hostage. Because in both of his Kiss and Cries, both days, Keegan was like, yeah, Nam has the hat. And then, like, the second time he was like, I'm gonna need my hat back, buddy. And I'm like, it's just so funny to me that it's, like, a whole thing at this point. And I'm not sure why this hat is being kidnapped.
Well, Jackie Wong called Nam out on it on Twitter. And Nam was like, I didn't steal it. I'm just holding on to it.
I miss that. That's funny. But, like, let your friend have his hat back, please. He needs it for his luck.
It's true. Do we want to talk about the banquet? Because it looked like...
Yeah, very brief. I mean, I've just seen a bunch of pictures. Everyone looked beautiful.
Everyone looked so good. Everyone was so well-dressed. Misato and Tim looked amazing. Satoko was wearing the best blouse. Wen Jingxue looked stunning. Gorgeous. She was wearing, like, a traditional outfit and, like, fake hair. Like, the whole nine looked like a goddess.
Yeah, Lisa in her red dress.
Oh my gosh, she wore a red dress I didn't see.
Yeah, no, this red dress with like a, you know when people, when you know when dresses have like a knot in the front which like looks twisty in like the breast area? It's like a little like, it's mm-hmm. like knotted. It's kind of like that. And it's really pretty. She looks gorgeous as well.
Ooh, gorgeous. Yeah, I need to look at more, but I also, Junwon has a video of him with, I think it's Hojang.
Yeah.
And they're teaching each other, like, each other's languages, and it's so cute, and, like, Camden comes over and, like, smooshes his face on Junwon's shoulder. Everybody wants to be friends with Jun, and I understand it. He's very adorable.
Yeah, I feel like he just has, like, good friendly energy. Like, he will talk to you at the party, which is the best vibe to have, I think. Especially, like, in a sport where, like, so much of what they do is, like, be thrown into situations with people they may or may not know super well. I feel like knowing that one of them is, like, super friendly and will talk to you and, like, will teach you how to, like, counter whatever is very sweet.
Yeah, and KG wore the same suit he always wears, which is fine, but it looked like everybody else was dressed a little more stylish. And, like, if I ever get to meet him, I'll take him shopping. And...
yeah, I feel like the boys, I mean, that's across the board, boys, the men at gala or at the banquets and stuff. All the ladies are like, oh, this is my chance to, like, buy a dress or like a jumpsuit and like make it a thing, and the guys are like, I'm gonna wear a tie.
No, we're the one suit I already own, although Tim Coletto had cool shoes, which yeah, was
he's
poor. I watched a little bit of Pairs and Ice Dance this time, and I won't get into it too much because I never ever know what the hell's going on, but I had the best time. And speaking of, we need to be Weebon Maiden for a minute,
just for a
something
second.
Happened at the gala that was so surreal. The Chinese ice dance team did a routine to the Untamed, which go watch it on Netflix if you haven't. It is a Chinese
high fantasy
show, high fantasy, super gay, based on a book and a comic and an anime thing. It's not an anime if it's Chinese. It's a donghua, I think. But it is. Okay, this book is, like, unironically one of my favorite books. I love it. And I was like, oh my god, it's 3 a.m. Am I, like, hallucinating this?
I slept through this, and I woke up, like, in the morning. I went on Twitter, and I was just, like, scrolling, and I started seeing, like, GIFs and, like, posts about it. And for a second, I thought I was still, like, half, like, I was, like, not like, oh my god, am I dreaming? But I was like, this cannot be real. And then it was. It reminds me of...
it was just
of,
funny to me.
It reminds me of Bettina Popova, Sergei Morozov's Power Rangers exhibition from last year. Just, like, truly chaotic, doing a thing no one expected, being a weeb on main.
Anyway, it was beautiful, and whenever I hear that song, I cry. So I just immediately wept when they were skating to it, and it was gorgeous.
Yeah, it's a great program. It's a great program as well. It's very beautiful. Someone drew, like, actual fan art of the actual characters using... one of the photos of the exhibition is referenced. So the layers of weebery
so
are just intense.
It's like big. It's like an Ouroboros of weeb. I couldn't believe how fast they did that. I can draw like one thing a year.
Artists, visual artists, fucking incredible. We stan. So if you do want to live tweet with us when Rose Telecom starts happening, or if you do want to see anything else we want to say on the internet, Megan, where are you? Online, on the web,
on the internet, I am at Megan Kelleher 3 on Twitter. And I guess theoretically Instagram, but I never post. How where are you, Netta?
I am at Netta Marie on Instagram and Twitter. That's NEDA and then Marie Chess Marie. We're also both on at Iced Tea Pod on Twitter and Instagram, and our website is icedteapod.com. You can also find us on Patreon, where you can get a bunch of extra content, and you get it straight away. If you sign up for a tier today, you immediately get access to the stuff from last month. So think about that and go see for yourself at patreon.com/icedteapod.
If you do that, you can join the illustrious ranks of people like Jordan, Danny, Julia, Daniel, Heath, Jennifer, and someone who made their Patreon name, quote, "In spirit, I am always throwing plushies at Evgenia Medvedeva." And that is relatable.
Deeply
and you
relatable.
Two can make us say things. It's deeply relatable. And you two can make us say things that you want to hear on air. You don't have to give us your name. You can just make us say things. And we'll do it. Because, you know, we're monkeys. We'll just dance for you. Give us money. Yeah.
Yeah, that's how it works. Give us money and we'll say whatever you want on air. Patreon.com/ICPod. Also, go to Apple Podcasts. Give us 5 stars. Leave us a review. Tell your friends about us. Tweet at strangers to listen to your podcast. There's so many ways to let people know that you're enjoying this. And if you've made it this far, I'm going to assume you've enjoyed it. And thank you for listening.
Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye, guys.